1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the Scripture, for the Word of God. I thank you so much, Lord, as we stand this day and proclaim thy Word. Father, it's a living Word. We thank you so much for our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you bless this time together in a real special and wonderful way, that you might be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. We'll thank you then for it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. I read an article in the paper this past week, whether you read it or not, but it was talking about advertisements. We know that Christmas certainly has been commercialized. I mean, we don't even have to doubt that. We know it has been as far as the world's concerned. Read an article, though, it was talking about that even they don't even use the name Christmas anymore. That they talk and call it about a holiday or some other thing. And even Christmas, the word Christmas is taken out. And of course, the reason that is because the first part of Christmas is Christ. And they want to disassociate themselves certainly with Christ. Brother Lloyd Nicholas came to me after the Sunday school this morning, and we had been talking in our Sunday school discussing the life of Lot. We talked about the fire and brimstone that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah and those plains around it, and talked about we kind of associated that with hell. And certainly that's the way it's going to be. We talked about the fire and brimstone of hell. It's going to be a horrible, terrible thing. And the fact that many times there's many who do not even hear it mentioned in their churches today. The truth of hell is not even mentioned. Lloyd came into my study back here just after the Sunday school, and he said, "I want to tell you something, preacher." He said, "If it hadn't been for an old fire and brimstone preacher over in Youngstown, Indiana, he was a Methodist, and let me say to you, back then some of the Methodists was great old preachers. They preached it. And he said, if it hadn't been for a preacher that would preach on hell, he said, I don't know where I'd be today. He said, he'd had me half scared to death to do anything. He said we'd go out, and he said some of the other buddies would drink, and he said, I wouldn't drink. He said, I'd drive, but I wouldn't drink. He said, I was scared to death to. He said, and he said, well, I'll tell you what. So you tell them about hell every chance you get. He said, that's what kept me going. And he said, got me on a straight and narrow. And that's true. We need to hear those wonderful messages about hell. And yes, then, of course, we need to hear the wonderful messages about heaven. We need to hear all of it, don't we? All the oracles of God. So this morning, I'm going to bring to you a message. I've entitled it, Why I Preach the Gospel. Why I Preach the Gospel. The Bible tells us over in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, 15th verse, we are instructed to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are told in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We are told in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We are told over in the Word of God over and over and over, instructed us to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That wonderful, wonderful message. There is no message on the face of this earth than a greater message than the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message it is. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's what the whole year is all about. The wonderful gospel message that Jesus Christ, as we find here in the Word, in the text that I read to you, he says how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was rose again according to the Scriptures. And that's the gospel message. That's the basic gospel message. And so this morning, I want to just preach to you on the subject of why I preach the gospel. I preach the gospel, first of all, to reveal God's grace. I don't, and I cannot get over, and I hope you never get over, the wonderful grace of God in sending His wonderful Son to us, dying on an old rugged cross that we might have eternal life. That is marvelous, wonderful grace of God. The Bible tells us in Acts 20:24, that I might finish my course, he says, with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see, the gospel is the grace of God. Wonderful, wonderful grace of God Almighty. How good He is to us. How wonderful He is. So every time I preach the gospel, I am revealing, I am telling you about the wonderful grace of God Almighty. All through the Word of God. And of course we know in John 3:16, one of the basic messages, one of the basic truths of God's Word, He tells us that God so loved the world. That's why He sent Jesus. He so loved the world. And His wonderful grace to us. I not only preach the gospel so it'll reveal the grace of God, and let me say to you, don't put that out of your mind lightly, because it is the grace of God that got you and I saved. Wonderful God's grace. Amen. He didn't have to save us. He had no reason to save us. Could not look down on us and say, boy, that's a good Joe down there. No, no, no. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was completely and fully the grace of God that He saved our souls. And we never want to forget that. But also I preach the gospel so as to expose man's sin. The very fact that man needs the gospel reveals that he's sinned and come short of God's glory. Every time we preach the gospel, the grace of God in sending His Son, why did He send Him? For sinful men, you see. Our true nature certainly is not a good nature. Our true nature is we falsely convicted Christ. We put Him up on the cross to die there. Our sins put Him there. He was falsely convicted, of course. They hung Him on the cross. They even tried to seal Him in a tomb. Thank God that didn't get done. He rose anyway. But I'm just simply saying to you, you see, it shows the true nature of man for what they tried to do to Jesus Christ. And so I say to you folks, it's a wonderful grace, but it certainly shows us that we've all sinned. Sometimes we sit and we look at ourselves and look at our brothers and we forget where we came. We forget, but we're just old rotten sinners, lost, hopelessly lost without Christ. And we needed a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. I just can't get enough of lifting His name up. I want Him to always point people to the wonderful grace of God and how Jesus died for us. If you go home this morning and not forget even that, just forget that, never forget that Jesus was lifted up on the cross, and when He was dying there, He was dying for you. He's dying for me. Folks, He done that. So it's a wonderful grace, you see, of God, and we needed Him to die for us. We needed that wonderful, wonderful grace. Not only that, I preach the gospel so it'll glorify God. You see, every time the gospel is preached, it brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single time that we preach the gospel of Christ, it brings glory to God. We point to Jesus, and we tell you how wonderful He is and what He did on the cross of Calvary for us, you see. And that brings glory to God. Isn't that wonderful what God done for us this morning? He's a wonderful Lord. He tells us in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, when the Word of God is preached, we're preaching the truth. And we must worship Him in truth. The gospel is truth. The Word of God is truth. And every time we preach it, we are presenting the wonderful grace of God, and through that, glorifying God, honoring God for what He done for us. Isn't it a wonderful thing? It's a blessed, you see, thing. So every time we preach the wonderful truth, it glorifies God. You preach error, and that can't do nothing but not bring glory to God. Truth must be presented. We've told you many times, you can put all kinds of signs on a church out there. You can call it anything you want to call it. But if it doesn't, truth is not preached in it, it's not a church. It's not a true church. The Word of God has to be preached in that church for it to be the right kind of church that'll honor and glorify our Lord. So I believe something. I believe every time we get together, I believe every time we gather as a congregation, it ought to be for the purpose of glorifying God Almighty. I believe in our hearts we all ought to look to Him and say how wonderful God is. I don't believe we ought to spend 2 seconds on glorifying some man, do you? I think we ought to spend all of that time on just lifting up Jesus and telling everybody how wonderful Jesus Christ is, you see. That brings glory to God. That ought to be the aim of every service that we come into, is to honor God and glorify Him, you see. That ought to be what the preaching of the gospel is all about. Not only that, to preach the gospel, not only does it bring glory to God, but it exalts Jesus Christ. You see, when you preach the gospel, you're exalting Christ Jesus. You're talking about how he died on the cross, and how he was taken from that cross and buried, and how then the third day he rose again. See, you're exalting him when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't preach the gospel without Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. You talk about religions and all them kind of things, but let me tell you something, folks. It's Jesus. It's not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is Christ. It's Christ, you see. We're not just got some old religion we're following. We're not like the Mohammed, the Buddhas, and the social gospels and all of these other things. No, we preach Christ. You see, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, you see, for us. That's what happens when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It exalts our wonderful Lord, you see. When you walk from this place this morning, you ought to be saying, not what a good preacher, not what a good service, but what a wonderful Lord we have. How great God was, and isn't he wonderful? And that's what you ought to take home with you this morning. You ought to talk about that around your dinner table today. You ought to talk about how good Jesus was in sending the Son of God. We last night, as we always did, you know, it's kind of a tradition in our house. It's a good tradition. My wife and I sat down, we read the Christmas story again last night. We've been doing that for years and years and years, and so enjoy just sitting down and reading the wonderful truth of the gospel of Christ there and the birth of Jesus Christ. And afterwards, we have prayer, and we prayed for all you folks and ask God's blessing, you know, upon you, and ask that we have a great year, this coming year, you know. And, you know, you can't do those things without exalting Jesus. And we were just sitting for a few moments talking about how good God is and how wonderful he is and how wonderful Jesus is. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, I tell you, preach the gospel of Christ. You exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. You hold him up high. Amen. There no one can get as high as Jesus. Amen. We all just puny little sinners. Jesus is that perfect, wonderful Savior who loved us. And we exalt him, you see. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. So I enjoy preaching the gospel because it exalts my wonderful Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got another reason, too. I might have gotten the flesh on this one. I'm not real sure. But I enjoy preaching the gospel because it infuriates the devil. Oh, I tell you, I enjoy telling about Jesus and letting him just steam. Amen. He don't like anybody, you see, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to look for the honor and praise from men, and he's getting a lot of it, but he's not going to get it from me, and he's not going to get it from true Christians. No, sir. And you know what? We can preach this morning, stand here and preach about Jesus. He can get as mad as he wants to get. He can jump up and down. We'll still do it, won't we? We'll tell everybody how good Jesus is, and we know something. There's a place where he's going to go one of these days. Amen. Oh, devil, you're going to be there for 1,000 years the first time, and then when he lets you go for a short season, he's going to put you back in that lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's where he belongs. Amen. And we're going to exalt Jesus. Amen. See, I believe in hell because the Bible teaches about hell. I believe Satan's going to be there. I believe the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet are going to be there, and I believe all unbelievers are going to be there in that hell. See, I believe that. I don't want to be down there with him, do you? I don't want to be the old beast and the false prophet. No, I want to be Jesus. Amen. So we'll just exalt him. You see, he can get all infuriated all he wants to. I want to go over to the book of Galatians just a few moments. First chapter of Galatians, the 6th verse. I marveled that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and should pervert the gospel of Christ. I simply read that because in the Word of God, God warns us that there is those who's going to pervert or try to pervert the gospel of Christ. See, old Satan just loves to get us off track. Satan would just love to put a little something in with the gospel. He would love to put in the fact that you got to do a little work with the gospel to get saved. No, it's Christ and him alone. Our works is as filthy rags. It's Jesus that paid all the cost. And we find here they was kind of perverting the gospel and warned anybody about perverting the gospel. long as we exalt Jesus and lift up Jesus and point people to Jesus, we'll be all right. And we'll tell them the truth of the gospel. They can't get saved with partly their works and partly grace. It's either all grace or it's all works. And if it's all works, you're doomed for hell. But if it's all grace, you're doomed for heaven. I'm not doomed, but you're headed for heaven. Amen? Going to heaven. So I'm just simply saying to you, they was getting off track. Go with me to the third chapter. I about messed that one up, didn't I? Third chapter, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Once again, he warns those Galatians about the problem of going back to the flesh or going back to works of the flesh. Folks, it's Christ. Jesus paid it all. I know there's all kinds of what we want to call denominations and things out there that try to add some works onto salvation. They say to you, yes, it's Jesus, but in the scriptures, there's no but there. It's Jesus, completely and fully the grace of God, you see. It's not works. If it's works, then you're going to have to take all of the works, and you're going to have to do them all, and you're already condemned. But if it's the grace of God, and that's what he was warning them here, don't get away from the true grace of God. Look in chapter 5, verse number 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Once again, I'm sure you understand the scriptures there. You've read these verses before, but you see he's talking about circumcision there. They was trusting in their circumcision. There was a sign of circumcision, you see, with the Jews, but they were trusting in their circumcision. It wasn't the fact that if they was circumcised, they was lost. He said, but if you're trusting in your circumcision, if you're trusting in the works of the law, then you're way off base, you see. But he said, stand fast, therefore, into the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I just wanted to share that with you because, as I say, this type of teaching infuriates the devil. He doesn't like. He wants you to depend on some kind of work on top of your salvation, but it's not. It's Jesus. You've either been born into God's family by putting your faith and trust in him, receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you have not. And if you have, you're God's. If you're not, you're the devil's. Amen? I'm just simply saying that not to be mean. I'm simply being truthful. You see, you need to be saved. You need to know a place in your life, a time back. You may not remember the date or the time, but you need to look back somewhere to a place when you say, at that point in my life, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and he saved me and made me ready for heaven. Amen. He's good to us, you see. And that's the kind of preaching we need to hear. We need to preach on Christ, you see. How good he is, you see. And of course, over in 1 Thessalonians, what he says the old devil will do, first of all, he'll try to pervert the gospel. But over in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, 18th verse, he says, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Let me say to you, Satan will even try to hinder the gospel being preached. Many times, has Satan ever hindered you about witnessing? I'm telling you, he has me. I'll own up to it. There's times when he's hindered me. I've said, you know, and old devil said, you know, he said, that person don't want to hear. You're going to embarrass this person or that person, or you're going to do that. Or, you know. No. You see, he wants to hinder us from giving the gospel out. And you see, and he'll do that. If he can get by with it, he'll do it. You see, he'll try to hinder us giving forth the word of God. And I say also, there's one thing that makes the devil mad. And that's when you preach on the blood of Jesus. Doesn't like to hear messages on the Word of God about the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that washed away our sins. Without the shedding of His blood, we could not be saved. We absolutely could not be in heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to some verses of Scripture as I read these verses of Scripture on the blood. Listen. He says in Acts 20:28, God hath purchased us with his own blood. Did you realize the blood that purchased you was the blood of God the Son? The blood of God? You understand that? That was a wonderful, blessed blood that purchased you and I. He also says in Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Faith in the finished work, the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? We find also in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Isn't that wonderful? We find in Ephesians 2:13, he says, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We find in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We find in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. We find over in Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By our blood, by his blood. You see, he obtained that by the shedding of his blood. We find over in 1 Peter 1:19, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's the blood that washes away our sin. We find in 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, where? In his own blood. Amen. You see, the old devil don't like that. But let me say to you, preach the blood. Tell people about the blood. It's the blood. You see, the religionists and some even denominations went through their songbooks and they took songs about the blood out of their songbooks. You remove the blood, you remove redemption. See, my friend, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They call those, we who believe in the blood, they call us believing in a bloody religion. It is bloody. It's the blood of God who shed his blood on the cross for you and I. You see, can't get to heaven any other way, you see. So the old devil would like to see to it that preachers leave out the blood, that we would quit singing about the blood. But oh, we'll never do that if we're doing truthfully the will of God. We'll always preach on the blood of Christ, you see. That exalts our wonderful Lord, you see. So why? We need to preach the gospel, you see, of Christ, and we need to do that all the time, and if that preaching makes the devil mad, that's good. We just want to preach Christ. We want to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how wonderful he is to us. Not only that, I preach the gospel so that I might be faithful in the commission God gave me. He gave me the instruction to preach the Word of God to every creature. He gave me the instruction in His Word to teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things which I have taught you. A preacher to preach like he ought to preach must preach the gospel. I went one day when my wife and I was in Cambridge, Maryland, right after we got out there. We went into a church that set kind of catacorning from our where we lived. We was wanting to try to find out what kind of churches was there. We went into this church, and we heard the message. We heard all of it, and at the end, there was no invitation given or anything, and I'm kind of glad there wasn't, because they wouldn't have known where to come anyway. There was no teaching about the gospel of Christ. No teaching on the blood that would wash away their sin. Thought about that so many times. I went into a service and heard that. I never heard anything about the gospel that would wash away my sins. You see, isn't that shame? I don't know. Of course, I know there's a whole lot of wonderful preachers across this land and Sunday school teachers across this land today that got up in their pulpits and got behind their teaching desk and taught the Word of God. I know that. And I'm so thankful for that. But I also know there's a lot that didn't. In this old land of ours. And I'm grateful for every one of them out there just teaching the blood of Christ and teaching a little about the Lord, no matter how they do it. It doesn't make any difference as long as they get the Word of God to them, you know, and preach Christ, you see. Well, listen, I believe to fulfill the commission that God gave me, I must preach the gospel. I must do that. I'll be held accountable if I don't preach the wonderful message of the gospel. Not only that, I preach the gospel because it declares the only means of salvation. There is no other message upon the face of this earth that I can bring to you to get you saved. None. We can talk about great men and how they lived and what they did. We can spend our time on all kinds of items about holy men that some people follow. But if we don't preach Christ and Him crucified, buried, and rose again, that is the only message that'll get you saved. There is no other message upon the face of this earth. And of course, the gospel means good news. It is the good news of the gospel that'll bring salvation to you. And that's why I preach the gospel. You see, if you're here today without Christ, you let it be known God loves you. God wants to save you. That's why He sent His Son on the old rugged cross to die for you, that you might come to Him, believe in Him, receive Him as your personal Savior, and be born into the family of God. God loves you today. Amen. Did you know that? God loves you. Do you know that Jesus died for you? That's the gospel message that we ought to preach. Amen. Yeah, we ought to preach about hell, all those things, but we ought never to leave out how you keep away from hell. It's the gospel, the wonderful love of God that sent His Son to die for our sins. I don't know how you feel this morning. I have a feeling you do feel this way, but this morning I got up and I was singing about Christmas and what a wonderful day it is to look back and think about His birth and all those things. But I said to the Lord on the way down here, I said, Father, I can't express to You enough the thanks that says I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. I can't express it to You enough and say thank You enough, because that's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to know that You're ready for heaven. Lay my head down on the pillow tonight, and no matter what happens, no matter whether I wake up or not, I know where I'm going. You know why? Because I've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It isn't this fellow here. No, it's Christ. You see what He's done for me. Isn't He good? I hope you'll just go away from the services today just loving Jesus more than you've ever loved Him before. Or maybe just letting me remind you, and because I know that you love Him, and I know you think about Him, but let's just use it as a time of remembrance and give thanks unto the Lord today, how good He is and how wonderful He is. I can't think of a better way to spend this day then after a service of preaching the gospel that someone in the congregation that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior would be willing to come down this aisle and accept Christ as their personal Savior. I'm not sure whether there's a lost person here in this audience this morning or not. I'm not sure about that. But if you are, you've never received Christ, I've got some wonderful good news. I've got the gospel to tell you that Jesus wants to save you and give you eternal life. He wants to do it right here today. Amen. God will do that for you. I'm going to pray in just a moment. First of all, I'm going to have you bow your head just a few moments. Now, I want you to remember something. This preacher is not in any way trying to embarrass you. But I know as Christians, we do not mind. That's not an embarrassment as Christians for us to say, I'm saved. I know that there was a day in my life when I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, do me a favor. Don't lift up your hand if you don't know you're saved, okay? You say, Brother Ross, I'm thankful I'm saved. I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and I know if I die today, I'll go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right, put your hands down. You say, Brother Ross, I could not lift my hand. I am just not sure whether I'm saved or not. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. And I sure wish you'd pray for me. Remember, I said, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to do any of those things. You say, Brother Ross, I'm just not sure I'm saved, and I want to know. Would you just raise your hand now? Say, I'm not sure. Just raise your hand up. No one's looking. Just raise your hand up and say, I want to know. Say, I want to know about Christ. I want to know if I died, I could go to heaven. Just raise your hand up so I'll see it. Amen? All right, someone? All right. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again today for the wonderful, wonderful truth of the Word of God. I'm so thankful that You loved us, and Lord, that You're willing to give us eternal life. And Father, I pray and thank You that if there's anyone here today without Jesus, oh God, that this would be the day of their salvation, that they would have the courage to step out and to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that we that who are saved and have indicated so, that we'd sure be thankful this morning when we leave this place. We'll thank and praise You for it. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Please stand with us.